The daf today is Pehei. We're about one third of the way down, up to Avimi Bereid Rabbi Abu. Avimi Bereid Rabbi Abu, Havimask Beizuzi Bechuzoi. There were people in Bechuzoi that had a debt against Avimi Bereid Rabbi Abu. So he sent the money to pay them up. Shadinu Biyat Chama Bereid Rabbi Baravu. He gives it over to a Shmiah Neman, Chama, and Ozol Barinu. He goes ahead and he pays it up. After he pays it up, he tells them, Amar lohu, havali shtar. Okay, now give me back the shtar. Amar lohu, no, we're not giving you back the shtar. He owed us other money, bal peh, which we never could have collected if he had denied it. But since you were dumb enough to pay the nest for the shtar in advance, we're going to take that money to pay up the mil bal peh, and we're going to keep the shtar in order to collect from the property against him, because we've got a lien with the shtar. Sitroi ninu. There were side monies that he owed us, so we're keeping it for that. And they have a right to do that, actually. The Rishonim and Medayik from here, that you have a right to take money that somebody thinks he's paying for one debt and to keep it for another debt, if that's useful for you.
So they have documents for the other debt?
Yeah. No. For the other debt, they don't have documents.
And what makes it a legal finding
thing? It's a mil bal peh.
Yeah.
No, let's see what happens. So he goes and he sues him. The shliach is distraught because now obviously they're going to come to him. I gave you money, you didn't pay up the loan. So he goes, do you have any witnesses that you paid him up? So Rabbi Abu said, so then that means they could have denied that you ever paid them. They're saying that they're admitting that you paid them, but there was not a loan. They also were neman with this migu to say that there was another debt, because otherwise they could have just denied all payment. You didn't even have any witnesses that you paid them. Okay, so he was in big trouble. So lenin shlume shliach mai. Now, who's responsible? Does the shliach have to pay back now the money to Avimi Breder Be'avu? Omer Rabashi. Chazina. Let's take a look at what the story was exactly. Yomer l'shkosh tor v'avzuzin. If the original shlichut that Avimi had made was take the shtar and pay the money, so then obviously he's going to have to pay. Mishalim, he didn't do the shlichut. But if he told him, have Zuzi pay up and get the shtar as a receipt, so then no Mishalim, because the original shlichut was seven there, so he did what he was told to do. However, this is not true. Mishalim. No matter what, the shliach would have to be Mishalim. The Omar Leila, Tikuni Shadartich, Volavuti. I sent you to help me, not to mess me up. So your entire shlichut was batel. You messed me up. You admit that I gave you money. Yeah. Fine, so where's my money? So therefore the shliach would have to pay in this case.
Would both debts, the bal peh and the mishtar, have been to the same person?
Yes. Ah, he did that. Having a faktika, but look at the story. There was a woman who would act as basically as a safety deposit box for people. So somebody gave her a whole attaché case of debts, IOUs that he had against people, bonds, and so on. And he had to sort of keep it. He dies. The yorshim of the guy come, and they want it back from the banker, the bankers. So she said to them, look, your father owed me money. So I was toe-faced. He had the shake case full of shtarot. And, if you pay me back that money, I'll be happy to return it to you. She can't really be tofis the shtarot to be kone the loans. That she can't do with tvisa, because it's not given over with tvisa. It would have to be a specific kinyan for this. Mesira won't help. This is no better than Mesira. She would need a shtar lakicha, which she doesn't have. But nonetheless, as Tosfos explains, she certainly had them in a very tight place, because she says, look, I took the paper. But that paper is very valuable to us. Well, okay, if it's very valuable to you, pay me what your father owed me, I'll give it back to you. So the mice doesn't matter what she was talking about. So she claims that she was tofis while the father was still alive. She said, I was tofis in his lifetime. The Yarshim say, well how do we know? Maybe you were. Maybe it belongs to our father. So I tell you this, I'm a lumichayim tofis. Now obviously she knew that the halacha was like Rabbi Akiva. You can't be tofis lachem misa. She said, I was tofis while your father was still alive. Also, the Kamer of Nachman, they come to Nachman, so he says to her, tell me, you have witnesses that this man, the deceased, he had asked it back from you, and you had denied him the right to get it back until he pays you back. So that would have been a tvisa. Because if you don't have that, that's not a tvisa. The fact that you intended not to give it back to him is not a tvisa, because as long as it's in your rishus, it's basically kept for him. You're being mekayim your shlichut, and you're a shomeret. Shomeret, the things are still in the rishus of the owner, not in your rishus. In order for it to be a tvisa, you would have had to deny him the right to get it back. Did you do that? Do you have witnesses? So he says, no. So he says, so in that case, in genavi tvisa lachar mita. Your tvisa is only now that you're refusing to give it back to the Yorshim. And we pass on like Rabbi Akiva. That tvisa de lachar mita lo klumi. Sorry. There was a woman who needed to take a shvua in the bezdin of Rava, and if she would take that shvua, so then she would be able to pater herself. Whether it's to pater herself, she'll be able to collect. So Rava's wife, who was Rava's daughter, says to him the night before, don't take a shvua from that lady. I know her. She's a known liar. You can't trust a shvua. She would make a shvua sheker. So she says, Yadana bata chashuda ashvua. I know that woman, she's chashuda ashvua. So Rava comes into Besdin. So the Dayan has a right, when he has reason to believe that someone is not Neman Hashvua, he has a right to give the Shvua over to the other party, and the other party can make the Shvua now for the opposite effect. So in other words, if she would have been pure with the Shvua, the other party can make the Shvua to collect. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim Tanya doesn't make sense. They would give her a right to collect based on a Shvua. Maybe a right to deny, to prevent collection from the other person. Okay, that's already a lot of discussion in the Aparanian about why Rashi would hold that we would even allow them to collect. Fine. In any event, that's what happened, and the case was concluded. Zimni, now, it happened after a while, that Aviyatika may Rav Papa and Rav Ada Bar Matna. Once Rav Papa and Rav Ada Bar Matna were in the observer's chairs in front of the Besna, and they were watching the cases that were coming before Rava. A certain shtar chov had come and he was going to collect. Rav was going to collect, but based on the shtar. So Rav Papa goes over to Rav and whispers to him, listen, Yadana be the shtar priya. I happen to know that this shtar was actually paid up. You can't collect with this shtar. The guy's a phony. He was only keeping the shtar because the person hadn't paid him back for the cost of writing the shtar, but the shtar itself had been paid. So Rav says to him, is there another witness that will concur? That saw that the shtar was paid up? Normally, lo. I'm alone. Normally, well, I'm sorry. I mean, the Afrika di Gamar, he'd have left Klumo. How can I pass a shtar based on one witness? Well, when your wife said something, it was good enough for you. So Rav Papa's not as good as your wife? Loye Rav Papa kibat Rav Chista. So Rav said to him, listen here, buddy. Bat Rav Chista, I trust. Bat Rav Chista kin le begava. I have 50 years of, well, I didn't live that long, but I have 20 years of experience with Bat Rav Chista. She never once said a lie, no matter what the pressure was. When she tells me, I trust something. When a guy with a long white beard, a big Domikov, tells me something, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. I don't know that he's trustworthy, Rav Papa. So, I'm very sorry, but I don't have personal experience with your morals. And you may look like a fine man, and I'm sure you're a big Dom. I don't trust him. How do I know that? How can I pass in a din based on your telling me? Now, this is a little bit problematic, because Lamaisa, anybody who tells a dayan, even as an Eid Echad, that a shtar is possible, so then that creates a reyes in the shtar that at least requires a shvua on the party that's presenting the shtar to be able to collect it. And over here, Rava seems to ignore it completely. That's what he was telling him. What about Bat Rechista? Over there, you were mahapik l'shvua, so at least be mahapik l'shvua. So Tosva says we're going to have to learn that basically Rav Papa was not acceptable mitam edut, because he was a relative. That's why they asked him, but isn't he at least as... I mean, your wife is also a relative. So isn't he at least as good? The rings are getting more and more entertaining, I'll tell you. Isn't he at least as good as your wife? I mean, he's a relative. No good, she's a relative. But it means when you trusted her, so you could trust him. That's what he was saying. I'll see Adis, forget it. He's a Karev. In terms of my trusting him personally, I don't know him personally to trust him personally. You have to be Kimle Begave. Kimle Begave is a very difficult thing. Kimle Begave is experience that you've had. We find this often in the Gemara, which, I mean, like the Maisa with Ram and Chassida, or Rabbi Yehuda. The Maisa with Rabbi Yehuda, when they went to be paid a shvuyin, and he insisted on keeping this beautiful girl in his room. So he asked the Palmidim the next door, the next day, well, what did you think when I would insisted on keeping? We believe that, Lokim Lamar, the Gabon, that you don't trust us with a girl. It's not the Pshat, what is he? He thinks his Palmidim are bargoers. Lokim is afraid. I don't have the experience to know. What do I know? How can I say something about another person's morals because he looks good? So now, okay, so Rav Papa accepted that, not kingly. But Rav Papa learned from it a very important thing. Said Rav Papa, I'm Rav Papa, hashli yom amar, kingly begabe milteim. What Rava basically has taught me is that even when a person has no ne'emanut as an aid at all, if the dayan personally has a trust, sense of trust in that individual, he can use that trust to paskin halacha to be meiri ashtar, and he was mahapech kashbi shvua on the other person. That shows, and in fact, this is how we paskin, although we don't do it nowadays. You just have to be misalik yourself from the din, as the Rambam says, because we don't trust anymore people's moral assessments of other people. That's no longer reliable. But enochinami, it used to be that a dayan had a right to use his personal sense of smell about an issue to determine that he can be mahapech, refuse to accept the testimony of an aide, or be mahapech ha-shvua, or refuse to utilize a shtar for collection, and so on. That's up to the dayan. So Rav Papa said, I see from here that since Kim Lipikavei is a miltahi, and it was reliable even when it's your own relative, because he relied on Batra Chista, was his wife. So if that would be the case, if I had a case coming before me in Beit Din, and my son was obviously a relative, so somebody like Abba Mori, who was my son, Bari, the Kim Lipikavei, I have a lot of experience with him and his morals, and he would never tell a lie. He once cut down a cherry tree, and you know, and I asked him. So based on that, Karana Shtara Apumi, I would tear up a shtar based on him telling me that the shtar was Karana. What do you mean? You don't have a right to be Korea shtar. I mean, the most you can do is refuse to collect with it or be Mahapi Hashvua. I mean, the Tosva says, Mahapi Hashvua, Karana, Sauka Daiter. How do you have, I mean, that's like literally taking away money from a guy. That's where, how can you do that? Sauka Daiter. Sorry, that was reported wrong. He said Karana. He said Morana. Morana means to say that there's a reyes in it. And therefore, says Taisus, and therefore you would be mahapech shvua. You would have been insist that the guy, in this case, would make a shvua in order to collect with it. Although Rashi goes even further, he wouldn't be able to use it as a collection, the shtar. There was once in Maisa that a woman was supposed to make a shvua and be zocha, and she was about to take the shvua in the bezdin of Rabbi Barabai. So the baldin, Amalohu Baldin. The Baldin said, Tete v'tishtaveya b'mata. I don't want her to take the shvua here. Basically, they had both lived in a different city. And it happened to be that they were in the bezdin over here of Rabbi Barabai. When we get back home, let her take the shvua over there. Why? People know her there. Others learned it was a big town. Rabbi Barabai was off in a little backwater, and nobody would take the shvua so seriously over there. She's going to walk into an impressive bezdin with people all around who know her. She's going to be embarrassed. There's people that know she owes this money. Let her take the shvua in her own hometown. After the mixifah, maybe she'll be embarrassed at these lies that she's saying over here, which is nobody knows her, and maybe at home she'll be mighty. Omra lagum. So they pass and that she should go. Machlokas v'shonim, whether you can do this just because of the bezdin, the other bezdin is more kosher, or only because she was going there anyway, because it was her home. And that they come. Others learned that no, it's not the pshat. He was his own, but he wanted it because it was a mor yadua bezdin. So she said to them, "Okay, fine. I'll go there and make my shvua, but I don't want him coming there and starting the whole case over again, bringing witnesses and all business. We've gone through 2 weeks of the case. This is the psak din that I should take the shvua. Write me a psak bezdin that I am zocha to this money, and give it into escrow." And then, when I take the shvua in my hometown, deliver me that shtar, because otherwise it's going to start all over again. I'm not going to go and start all over again. That's not fair. So Rebbe, so kutfuli, zachvata, write me your psak halacha, that I'm zoich in the money, but obviously you'll only deliver it to me after I actually take the shtar, and that bezdin sends you a message, I mean the shvua, that bezdin sends a message confirming that the shvua was taken. The chimishta abana, when I take the shvua yavili, give me that shtar. Amalu Rabbi Barabaya Kitvula, okay, write the shtar. Rav Papi heard about this. Oh my God, what an idiot. Omer Rav Papi, Mishum da titu mimuloi, amritu mili mulyata. Because you come from a family of rune genetics, you say mutations. One shot is over here that he came from the Mishpachas Eli. So everyone would die young. So you're a cut-off family. Mimuloi is a cut-off. Loshna Mila, Mal. So you're a cut-off family, so you say things that are cut off in terms of their intelligence. And that's how Rashi was Mekabel. But Rashi personally says that Mimuloi indeed means people with congenital defects. So it means that people that are covered with skin blemishes and so on, but they don't have a normal lifespan. So to that sense, Mimuloi, there's no information he comes from Beit Hillel. In other cases, we say, Omar Rava, you can't do something like that, give her a star. I'll bring you a riot. Rava said that even in Ashrata the Dayani. Ashrata Dayani, you remember, is where the Dayani write that Adam came in front of Beit Din and testified that this is indeed the signature of so-and-so, right? So you cannot even fill out a form on a typical Ashrata and stamp it so that it should be ready now to give to the guy who's going to use this star. That was, if it was written before the actual event, it's useless. Even though, what's the difference? Because it's michzik ashikra. So the ashrata the dayanim the bichtva mikad nafku sahadi achatimot yadayo, before the edim have been able to see the chatima and testify to it, and now you want to hand it over, it's possible. Why? Alma michzik kashikra. You see, that's something that looks like a lie. What do you mean edim testified? You mean you had this written up in advance that edim testified and they never testified? And you're going to give this to me and I'm supposed to take this seriously? It's outrageous. So even though the Maisa, what is written in it, is true, but the very fact that someone would write up a thing that had not taken place, it just strikes people as being absurd. So how can you do that over here? You're writing up a shtar that this woman took a shvua. She never took a shvua. She took a shvua only ex post facto. So 2 months later, you're going to deliver it. There's no bigger sheker. The whole thing is a big fat lie. So how can I mean mirzik a shikra? Why couldn't they just write in the Shtar Es Tosfos when she takes the Shvua? Because then it doesn't help her. Because then every time she presents the Shtar, they're going to say, well, how do we know you ever took the Shvua? This is back where she started. I'm just going to have to bring witnesses that she took the Shvua and so on. And if she wants to get the other person to issue a Ktav Zach Vata, so then the guy's going to say, I don't think that they would agree with what that, let's listen to the case. They'll start all over again. So that wouldn't have helped her. She wanted to finish the case. So they would have to write as if they already paskin based on her shvua, but then it's mitzvah kashikra. It's outrageous that Rabbi Barabbas said to do such a thing. No, she said the chiyush tabana, not the shtar said. We're delivering it to her when she takes the shvua. The lesson. However, this is not true. How do we know it's not true? Minu Rav Nachman. The Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who holds that we go according to Chatima, and it's the Chatima that creates the validity of a shtar, not the writing of it. So he says, if you found a divorce, an actual get in a garbage bill, someone had written a divorce for his wife, it just happens that he has the same name that you have, and that his wife has the same name that your wife has. So you figure, what do I got to go and get a sofer and a bezdin and a whole deal to write out a get? Here I go, I got a pre-printed get all made out of my name, my wife's name. So you take it out of the garbage bill. You have witnesses sign on it that you're using this to be divorcing your wife. And then you give her this get, and it's kosher. Because the thing that makes the get is the chatima. So when the Torah said that you need l'shma, it's true. But that's not the ktivah. The ktivah is meaningless. Ktivah can be done by a robot, says Rabbi Meir. The only thing that makes the shtar meaningful is the chatima. The chatima was done l'shma. So that would be perfectly kosher. Now, the Rabbanan don't agree with that. That's true. They don't agree with it, but only because they don't say, what do you mean, it's Vifsi Kashikra? I mean, it's one big fat lie. It's not even referring to you. It's not even referring to her. No. That's not their problem. Their problem is that the Torah said the Kotav La, which means Lishma, and they hold that that's a din on the Ktiva. But they never said, what do you mean, it's Vifsi Kashikra? What a lie. You're fooling people into thinking this is a get. So the only problem they had with Rabbi Meir's approach was Afilu Rabbanan Lo Polag Alei Rabbi Meir is dafka when it comes to gitay nashim. So okay, a divorce I understand. A divorce you need to have ketivah l'shma because the Torah says v'katav la. La means for her specifically. But let's say it would be a regular shtar, they would have no problem. If it was a regular shtar, b'shar shtarot modilei, they would agree with the Rabbi Meir's pesach. Yom Rav Asim Rav Yochanan. Shtar shelavabo uporo eno chozer velovebo shekvar nimchal sheibudo. You cannot reuse a shtar that had been once made a loan. Let's say you made two loans. You make a loan on that day, and now you pay it up. It's the same day, so the date's not, obviously you're not allowed to use a shtar that is predated, because then you're going to end up collecting from the chassan that were mishubadim that you didn't have a right to collect from. But let's say that's not a problem. You're taking out another loan on the same day. So basically you pay him up that money, you say, you know, I don't need that money. I need more money. You see, I'm an honest guy, I paid you back the money. So how about lending me now? No, I'm willing to lend you, all right, so lend me the money back. Okay, so we'll use the same shtar. Can't use the same shtar. Because having paid back a loan, the she'ibud on that shtar is now nimchal. So now it's just a piece of paper that records a milva al peh. That's all that it's doing. It can't create a new lien because the lien that it created was paid. So therefore, even when you check the title company, you'll check and it'll turn out that this loan was paid. You can't say, but there's an extant contract. That's the same contract, because you can't collect my property with a contract that we all know was paid up. So that's the only problem. The problem is there was nimchal shibuda. The time of the nimchal shibuda. Why don't we say, what do you mean? The whole thing is a lie. It's mechzik hashikra. For that, lo chashina. If we wouldn't have said such a thing in this case, that it's mechzik hashikra. So that means that where you've got an actual shtar that is real and that everything about it is real, so then we don't say it's mechzik hashikra. So over here also, we shouldn't say it's mechzik hashikra. Over there, the entire event is mechzik hashikra. What do you mean? Never happened. You're writing about something that simply didn't take place at all. Over here, you're writing a zachmata, which is based on the need to make a shvua. It's a whole different thing. So therefore, Rabbi Abai is not so mulyata as you claimed he was. Now, who gavad afki shav maganita the tzayre v'sadina bei Rabbi Aishia bar bered Rabbi Yeshua ben Lehi. There was a certain person who trusted Rabbi Meyasha to be a shomer for him on 7 beautiful pearls that he had that were wrapped in a little handkerchief, and he gives it to Ramayasha. Ramayasha got a heart attack, died suddenly. Velopakit, he didn't have a chance to tell his family what to do with the things that would be found in his rishus. So the Yorshim said, maybe daddy's rich. He just never let us know. Maybe he really owns these things. The other guy, meanwhile, came along and he said, look, I left your father 7 pearls wrapped in a blue handkerchief with my initials on it. Could you give it back to him? I don't know. How do we know it's yours? All right. So they come now. So he says them. He comes to the Bezin of Rabbani. So Rabbani says, look, first of all, I happen to personally be a friend of this man. And I know that he simply does not have the kind of money to be holding on to these things. It's very unreasonable. The word omid, this beautiful Rashi in Gittin, the word omid is used over here. I mean, some learned the law omid means he would not be estimated to have this kind of property. But actually, the word omid is used elsewhere as a direct synonym for a rich man. There's a beautiful Rashi. Rashi says that the reason we use the word omid for a rich man is because everybody's always estimating his worth. That's so true. An ani, nobody's estimating his worth. But if he's an usher, he got Fortune magazine writing him up. So what do you think this guy... What exactly? Amazing. The human nature doesn't change.
My kids at school would just come home and say, you know, it's not worth Bill Gates to lean over and pick up a $100 bill. That's what they said. It's not a time.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I know that he couldn't afford this. It's not reasonable that it is. Look, the guy is giving a siman that it's his. It makes a great deal of sense. Putting these two tainim together, it's not that one would hold without the other, but putting these two tainim together, it's very reasonable to give back this thing to the person who claims that it was his. But the only time that we can say such a thing is, it's only if the gentleman in question who was claiming the pearls is not friendly with the household. Because if he was friendly with the household, he might have been there when somebody else brought in 7 pearls wrapped with this initial. And then he came now thinking, now he'll pretend that it was his. So it has to be that there would be no way that he would know about this unless he himself was the one that had actually given it to him. If he is friendly enough to be walking into the house of Ramayisha, maybe it was somebody else who came in and he happened to be there. There was another similar case. A guy had a beautiful silver becher. And he gave it to this gentleman by the name of Chasa. Chasa also died suddenly. Shokiv Chasa, v'lo pakid, and he hadn't left any instructions for his heirs. Otu l'kani d'Rav Nachman, so this case comes to the Bezin Rav Nachman, Omar lohu, and he came up with exactly the same reasoning that Rav Ami had. And he said, look, I happen to know that Chasa is simply That poor guy, Galoami, it's unlikely that he owned a silver becher. Not to mention, and this guy's giving excellent simon, he obviously knows the becher very intimately. He, interestingly enough, came up with word for word the same caveat that Rabami had, that I'm only saying this with the understanding that this is a gentleman that would never have been just in the house. He was a stranger that was trusting him because he was Adam Gadol. So I in that case, he could rely on the sinner.
Would the Beit Din have asked for Shavua?
If what?
From the man to say that this was his?
No, apparently no. They were Mekabalot. And there was another guy who had given a very expensive silk smoking jacket to Rav Dimi, Rav Safra's brother, and Rav Dimi also died suddenly, and he came up independently with exactly the same reasoning, word for word. I know that he couldn't possibly have afforded that jacket. The guy clearly is intimate with this jacket, but I'm making this with one caveat. So basically, we are bringing together on this daf, I'm going to see more of this, bringing together on this daf cases in which the judgment of a judge is based on his sense of the situation rather than on clear proof. Right, so we started off with Bat Rav Chista, the question whether you could trust Rav Papa, whether Rav Papa would be Maran or Lishtara. And then we have these three cases where we're going to make an estimate based on trust value, what is reasonable in the eyes of the Dayan. And things get worse, because there was a case, a guy dies and has a matna shchiv mira, gives away everything he owns to good old Tuvia. So Tuvia shows up in the court and he wants to collect this guy's property. So, Ata Tuvia, Omer of Yochanan, well, here is Tuvia. Hare ba Tuvia? How about if the guy said, I want all my nechassim to go to Tuvia, and in watched Rabbi Tuvia? So then said Rabbi Yochanan, no, he doesn't get it, because the guy said to give it to Tuvia, and said to give it to Rabbi Tuvia. He wouldn't have been calling Rabbi Tuvia Tuvia, would he? So then this must be the wrong guy? So the Tuvia Amar, the Rav Tuvia Lo Amar. But he inish the geese. Look, if he happens to be very friendly, he's a childhood friend of Rav Tuvia, and he never stopped calling him Tuvia. Maybe he would call him Tuvia on his deathbed. He wouldn't give him his proper honorific. But under those circumstances, I would accept that if he was geese, then enoch not. But how about if two Tuvias show up? Now we got a problem. So now there's two Tuvias. All of a sudden, hundreds of Tuvias show up. So what do we do? So look, if one of them is a shachin, and one of them is a Talmid Chacham, so then we give it to the Talmid Chacham, because we assume that a guy on his deathbed got religion, he wants to support the yeshiva, you know, give him a little sus before he dies. So mistame, he meant to give it to the Talmid Chacham. How about if there is a Talmid Chacham kodem? How about if there's a korov and a Talmid Chacham? We also assume that he's giving this away for a sus for himself. He's on his deathbed after all. So Talmid Chacham kodem. How about if one of the guy is a neighbor and the other guy is a relative? Which Tuvia is the real Tuvia? Tashma, Tov Shachin Karov Me'ach Rachov. Better a close neighbor than a far away brother. So that means that people indeed have a deeper relationship with their neighbors than they do with their relatives. And if one of the Tuvias is a relative and another Tuvia is his next door neighbor, we give it to his next door neighbor. This is not a Yerusha. This is a Matan. Shneihem Krovim. Shneihem Shchenim. Shneihem Talmidei Chachamim. Now what do we do? The two Tuvias have no clear-cut objective distinguishing characteristics. Shuda de Dayanim. That means, according to Rashi, the Dayanim use their best judgment in the case. What do you think is more likely with information you can glean about this guy's psychology? Who would he have wanted to give it to? Tosfos says, Shuda de Dayanim means throw a coin if you want. Do whatever you want. Give it to whoever you like. Because what it means is that this money cannot find a legal solution, ever. We simply have no way, by definition, of ever knowing your estimate is meaningless. I mean, estimating what the guy's das is without having any objective criteria. So basically, do what you want. Shuda de Dayanim means do what you want. Do what you think is right with the money. Which Tosfos says, Although that's a little bit dangerous, because then, of course, kickbacks start getting into the picture, right? So if one of the parties pays a little bit more for the case than the other party, and we know where the Shinu Dayanu will go, but says Tosis, but a Dayan that accepts money for din is anyway not a Dayan. He's going to be thrown out of his job. I mean, so there will be no means of creating a kickback over here. A Chayshish was going to actually give him money on the slide. We're not Chayshish.
Why not Yachlokum?
Yachlokum, we'll see above Mitzir when what the case is. This is not a case of Yachlokum. It's a case where the Bezdin is in possession of the money. Okay. Omale Rava, Lebrede Rukhiya Barabin. Rukhiya Barabin, his father had died. Rava was a friend with his father, Ovin. So he said to him, I want to tell you over some of the beautiful things that your father used to say over in his lifetime, his chidush, that are important to know. He would say that the famous Maimer of Shmuel, that Adi Omer Shmuel, Ha-mocher shtar chov l'chaviro, v'chazar u'mecholov. Mechol. Shmuel said like this, amazing halach, somebody sells a bond to another guy, which is basically a debt that is roy to be collected. So let's say it's worth face value of $100,000. This guy's got property that's worth $100,000. Somebody buys the debt for collection for, let's say, $80,000. So he'll take the guy to court and so on. Then the lender turns around and is meichel the loan after selling the rights of collection of the loan. Says Shmuel, it's a kosher mechila. He can be meichel. How does this work? Because be'etzem, there are two elements that are nogea alone. One is the personal chiyuv that an individual has for paying back a loan. And then there is the rights of collection, which creates a lien against the property. The rights of collection, says the Rambam, those are only derabbanan. The lien that the person has that is mechayev payment of the loan, that's the araisa, that's against him personally. It's only to sell that. So you can, very nice, you bought the rights of collection, but if the guy is mechayev for the loan, rights of collection to what? There is no loan. And there is no mechanism for selling the deraita shibut. It's just the rabbanan that created a financial instrument called bonds that can be traded. So you can't now trade more than the lien. You're trading the lien, okay, but the guy is saying, you have a wonderful lien, but what loan are you trying to collect with this lien? Oh, that loan? Right here, it says the guy was a buyer. So, sorry. So he's in a tough spot at this buyer. So what your father, Ovin, used to say was this, that Modesh Shmuel b'machneset shtachov leba'ala v'chazra mechalato, that in a case, and this we're bringing this whole thing back to Ksuvus at last, in a case where a woman brought in a shtar chov now to her husband, now there already, if she tries to be mochelet, it's not mochel. Why? Because we already saw that there's a unique relationship of the husband to the nechsei ishto, in that it's considered to be yado ki yada. We just had this for other inyanim earlier. So since yado ki yada, they now are viewed as shutafim in the debt, she no longer has the right to be mochel the debt. Because here, the actual debt, not just the right of collection, is jointly owned. Kribati to Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman had a relative who sold her ktuva, b'tovat hana'a. So when you sell her ktuva, a woman sells her ktuva, obviously she's only going to get, let's say, 20 cents to the dollar. In other words, because people figure, look, she's only going to collect this ktuva if her husband divorces her, or if her husband predeceases her. But, I mean, for me to pay money that she's not going to die first, looking at the actuarial tables in those days of childbirth and so on, I ain't going to be paying very much. And divorce, not counting on. So I'll give her whatever, 20 cents to the dollar. So he goes, and he buys the ketubah from her. Then what happens is, this is a real classic situation, the husband divorces her, and an only child that she has was a daughter. They both have this daughter. So this daughter, basically, is caught in the middle in an ugly divorce. And the people that had bought them the rights to the ketubah, they sue the daughter, because the daughter is the heiress now. The woman dies. The daughter is the heiress now of this woman. And they want the daughter to collect the ksuva from her own father and give them the ksuva money. But, look, her mother died already. She was angry at the father for the divorce. But she doesn't want to sue the father for the money for the ksuva.
The guy can't sue the Baal directly?
Oh, so let's see what happens. So Igarsha, he gives her a divorce, and then she dies. So they want now to sue the daughter for the money of the ketubah. Amalu Reb Nachman, Reb Nachman, who was a relative, so he says aloud, why is there nobody to tell this girl that she should be meichel the ketubah? Because she's basically standing in place of her dead mother. Her mother could have been meichel the ketubah because of Shmuel's dictum, that if you sell the rights to collection, you could still be meichel the loan that's owed you. So she could be meichel the ketubah to her father. Then this guy couldn't collect it from the father. And then when the father ultimately dies, she'll get the money herself. That makes a lot more sense. I mean, just out of enlightened self-interest, it's in her own best interest to be meichel the ketubah, if she's still angry at daddy about the divorce. So obviously he said this loud enough for her to hear.
Can a woman be meichel the ketubah?
Sure. Why not? It's like any other loan.
She just sold it. But even though she sold it.
Even though she sold it, Shmuel says she has a right for mechila. Right? Because we said before, even an heir can be mochel. That's what Shmuel said. That's on the second line I dropped. Be mochel the loan. A guy sells a loan, sells the contract, he dies, an heir can be mochel the loan. So over here, the daughter can be mochel at the ketuvah. So let her go. Let her be mochel the debt of payment of the ketuvah to her own father. And then when her father dies, let her inherit the ketuvah. And then the guy won't be able to go away. She's the Yoresha. So of course she hears what he says, Shama. And that's exactly what she does. Ozla Achilta, she's Mochela the Ketuvah, now the guy is up the creek without a paddle. Lemaisa, the Ritva writes that, of course the Das of Reb Nachman was to reimburse the guy for the Toivas Hanah, the 20% that he had paid, out of the money that she was going to eventually inherit. Okay. But then Reb Nachman felt very upset with himself. Reb Nachman, Asino Atzvenu Korchei Adayani. What am I sitting over here giving eitzes? What am I, a lawyer? Let her figure out her own time. So what was he thinking? He didn't realize that it wasn't proper to give an eitzah. I mean, what was he thinking? No, mikorasavar, we had this earlier. Mikorasavar umibsarcha lotitalam. He held before, listen, I'm a relative. I'm not the judge. She can't come to me. I'm a relative. So for an eitzah, a person is supposed to give an eitzah to somebody doesn't know. So I gave an eitzah to him. So why did he feel bad afterwards? The Torah says to take care of your relatives. The besof savar adam chashuv shayne. People will learn from me to be lawyers, even not for the relatives. And you know what Shakespeare wrote about lawyers? So I'm a mela. First, kill all the lawyers. We'll get to work on it. That's the first thing that's got to go. So okay. So adam chashuv shayne.
When you know that you're hurting somebody else's.